Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'Yet Abraham is our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. After those powerful words from John the Baptist, you'd think I was going to preach on that, but I'm not. I'm going to preach on a word that is really important in the season of Advent, and that is the word hope. When we wake up in the morning, our alarm is a radio alarm, and so we always hear the public radio station in the morning. And this past Thursday, there was a segment about a man in the Netherlands named Mark Langendijk. Last summer, in July, he chose to end his life, not by suicide, but by euthanasia. He was 41 years old, and he'd been struggling for years and years with depression and alcoholism that just ruined his life. And finally, he had decided that he was never going to be able to overcome this addiction. He decided that the life he was leading just was not worth living at all. And he obtained official permission from the government to end his life and to plan his death. And the radio segment, they interviewed his brother, Marcel, and he talked about the day that his brother died, surrounded by his family, his parents, and his sister and his brother. And he described their intense grief, how painful, how awful it was for all of them. And it was devastating to listen to this man tell about that experience. It was so sad because it was the story of a man who had lost all hope. We tend to use the word hope pretty casually, pretty carelessly a lot of the time. We say, "I hope it doesn't snow tomorrow." We say, "I hope you have a nice birthday." We say, "I hope those pants I bought at the thrift shop fit me." And it's as if the word hope was just kind of a way of positive thinking. But the truth is, as Mark Langendijk's story reveals, hope is a matter of life and death. And the world that we live in is in such great need of hope. Always, it has always been, but never more than today, when people's lives and the choices that they make are so often ruled by fear and anger and anxiety and despair. We have this American ideal of the self-made man. We're supposed to have that pioneer spirit. And it sounds really admirable, but but it leaves a lot more people in ruins than it does in success and wealth. And all around us, we see people who are living their lives without any hope at all. And into those dark shadows of hopelessness in the world, the light of Advent shines rays of hope. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Today, Charlie read these words from Paul's letter to the Romans. It's a benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Perfect benediction for Advent. Advent, which is all about the coming of our Lord into the world, is specifically about the coming of the God who is hope, and who comes in order that everyone who's lost and confused in the darkness of this very dark world may not just find enough hope to keep hanging on by their fingernails, but that they may abound in hope. And clearly what Paul is talking about is something worlds apart from good wishes and positive thinking. He is talking about hope that has real muscle, hope that can make a difference in lives, hope that is able to snatch a life right out of the jaws of death. We know, though it's good and important that we have to be reminded every single year, that Advent is about our hope that Jesus will come back to us as he promised, and that it's coming, this whole broken creation with all its violence and corruption and suffering is going to be healed completely. And today we read those wonderful verses about the wolf snuggling up to the lamb and the leopard hanging out with the baby goats, and the little child playing without a care beside the nest of poisonous snakes. We read that prophecy of Isaiah, they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And those promises that there will surely come a time when pain and cruelty will be no more, and when this dog-eat-dog existence that eats away at the souls of men is going to come to an end forever. That is joy and life and hope to us. But we and the world need more than that. Like Mark, the man who ended his life, we need hope today. We need hope that when the darkness around us is so impenetrable, just can't seem to go on, when we've completely run out of strength, when we've run out of fresh starts, even then there is light to be found, not at the end of time, but here. And we need to know that there's someone out there now who cares enough to come to us in our despair, and who's big enough and strong enough to rescue us out of it. In the season of Advent, that's the hope that we need to share with the world. Hope that is able to pierce the blackest darkness and reach the lowest depths. As Christians, we proclaim that God, the God of hope, was born into our world as a baby boy a little over 2,000 years ago, and we proclaim that he will return in the course of time to restore to this creation all the goodness and the kindness and the beauty and the joy that it was meant to have. But we also proclaim that the God of hope is with us now, because he promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We proclaim that human beings have not been left hanging to muddle along as best we can, expected to follow the rules and be good people, and desperately striving day after day after day to lift ourselves up by our own frayed and tangled bootstraps. Because the truth is that when people feel helpless and hopeless in the face of something overwhelming like alcoholism or depression or cancer or divorce or the loss of death, it's not because they're just weak, wimpy people. They're not wrong that they can't make it. The world really does burden people with things that we can't deal with on our own. There's a saying that people are very fond of saying that God never gives us more trouble than we're able to deal with, but that is really just the old bootstrap mentality with a little Christian mask on. The truth is that there are a lot of things that happen to people that they shouldn't have to face alone. A lot of things that people can't face alone. And here's the good news of Advent. We're not alone. We live in between the two great events of human history. There's the first event. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the second great event is this. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, or crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And here we are, today, between those two great events. God's people abounding in hope, because the Spirit of God has made his home with us. So we need to know, what does that mean? What does that look like for us to be people abounding in hope in the midst of a world that's abounding in despair? And we can actually know what it looks like because Jesus came to show us. He did it first. He lived it for us. And first of all, we know that Jesus didn't bring hope to the world by handing out nice gold leaf Christmas card platitudes about hope. He didn't bring hope to the world by staying inside the four safe and quiet and holy walls of the synagogue, like a respectable teacher should do. Jesus took hope out into the streets. He took hope to his neighbors, and especially he took hope to people that nobody else wanted to bother with. He struck up conversations with really unsavory people like women and Samaritans. He let his important grown-up teaching time get interrupted by noisy little kids. And instead of shushing them, he welcomed them and he took them into his arms. He hung out in the worst parts of town with poor people and sick people and prostitutes. He touched lepers. Nobody touches lepers. He gathered together an inner circle of friends that was made up of bumbling fishermen and political radicals and hot-headed young men and tax collectors and a traitor. It was quite a cabinet he gathered for himself. He never once in his life played it safe. He certainly never worried about his reputation. He got his hands dirty. And hope spread out from Jesus like wildfire on a dry prairie. That's what it looks like. As people abounding in hope, Jesus showed us that our job is to take hope out into the world, to take hope to the hopeless. And we don't have to go very far to find people in desperate need of hope. They're right next door. They're down the street. They're in the checkout line at the grocery store. They're sitting at the table at our community dinner. They're sitting next to us in the waiting room at the doctor's office. And we have so much to offer them. Compassion, kindness, forgiveness, grace, a listening ear. Compassion brings hope to the poor and the suffering. Kindness brings hope to the lonely. Forgiveness brings hope to somebody who is just crushed under the burden of guilt and shame. A listening ear can bring hope to the lonely. Grace brings hope to those like Mark Langendijk, like so many people who are battling addictions and depression. Those are real enemies. Grace brings hope to those whose darkness is truly more. you're alone. Hope is a matter of life and death, and it's ours for the sharing. Not by our human efforts because we're just great people, but because we bear the spirit of the God of hope within us. But we have to get out there and share it. This is no time for playing it safe in this holy season of Advent. May the God of hope fill us all with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. And following the example of Jesus, our Lord and our teacher and our hope, may we bring the great light of hope out into the world to the people around us who are still walking in darkness. Amen.
Amen.